Hey.
That was good. I miss singing with my sister like that. Of course, it was just the two of us. So normally seniors will get up here and they'll start thanking all of the people who helped them make it this far, but I take everything for granted. I told my dad I'd make that joke, so there you go, Dad. Hi, Mom. Really, though, I am thankful for all the people who helped me make it this far, and I won't take time to thank everybody, but most of all, I'm thankful for my fingers, because I can always count on them. Speaking of counting, Numbers chapter 13 today. You like that? I thought of that during Greek class. We're used to hearing bad puns in there. Numbers chapter 13 is the story of the report that the spies brought back after surveying Israel. And every time I hear this or I read this, I think of the time Brother Clark was up here preaching. He went, 10 were bad and 2 were good. And he stops and looks back at Brother Beal and goes, some of us can't do that. So that's in my head every time I hear this passage. But I'd like to show you today three things: the trust that Israel denied, the trust that Caleb displayed, and the trust that God demands. And I've been thinking about what to preach for senior chapel since freshman year. And I had something. It was really good, in my opinion. Had 4 points, all alliterated, subpoints, illustrations, the conclusion, the catchy title. I thought it was really good. Had it ready about 2 weeks ago. I was doing some tweaking and stuff. And Wednesday, this past week, Holy Spirit put something else on my heart. And I fought it at first. And I know you're not supposed to do that, but I did. And it took me a couple hours until I realized, you know what? It's best just to trust God and do what He says. And that's the gist of my message here today. I forgot to start my timer. I spoke with Dr. Dillon about my message a bit, and he said, you know, trust God is a word, phrase that we kind of throw out there flippantly in our circles. We don't really know what it means. We just kind of use it as a band-aid when we're not sure what else to say. But if I could give you a simple definition of what I mean when I say trust, it would be look at the facts with God in mind. Look at the facts with God in mind. Look at everything God has already done for you. Look at God, who He is now. And look at what's in front of you now and determine, is this going to be the time God lets me down? I don't think so. He's going to take me through it, and I'm going to trust Him through it. So Numbers chapter 13, starting in verse 25. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. And the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. And the people wept that night. And the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, brackets, against God. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. And then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into the land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me, for all the signs which I have shown among them. Our text today ends with a question. I would like to start with a question and finish this with a question. How long will it be until you start trusting God after everything he's done for you? Now, first of all, we see the trust that Israel denied. The spies brought back a report of evil because they were focused on all the problems that they would encounter while trying to take the land. They dissuaded the people from going in and taking the land that God had promised to give them because of their fears. Their focus was not on God, but on their problems. And these were legitimate problems. Giants. Walled cities on top of mountains. They were vastly outnumbered. They did not have a trained military. They didn't have all the weapons that all their enemies had. In previous centuries, these nations up that were in the promised land had been warring against each other, so they were trained in battle. They knew what they were doing. It'd be like Richard coming up, and I'm up here. He's trying to beat me up from down there. It's not going to work very well. But their focus was not on God, and they lost sight of God and the promises that he had, and because they lost sight of it, they didn't get it. The one who promised Israel to give them the promised land had proved himself faithful. And he brought them out of Egypt. He'd brought them through the Red Sea. He'd given them manna, quail, water from a rock. He'd led them by a pillar of fire and of smoke and all these other things that he'd already done for them. But they were so soon to forget everything that he'd done as soon as another problem came in their way. So that's the trust that Israel denied, but also the trust that Caleb displayed. You see, I got my alliteration in still. Verse number 30. And Caleb said, he stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." You know, Caleb, he went in there too. He saw the giants. He saw the walls. He saw the mountains. He said, "You know what? God's promised to give me that. I'm going to go take it. I'm going to go get it." He saw the problems, but his focus wasn't on the problems. It was on God. He had a confidence in God's power. Caleb knew that there were giants. He saw them firsthand, but he'd also seen God working firsthand in his life. You know, Caleb was the firstborn in his father's house, which meant that he should have been dead a couple times over when Pharaoh decreed that all the babies should have died or during the Passover. But because of his father's faithfulness, his parents' faithfulness, and God working in his life, God protected him. And God brought them out of Egypt after all of those plagues that also could have killed him. God had been working in Caleb's life, and Caleb knew that. Caleb looked back at everything God had done for him. And then Caleb went into the promised land, and God had told him, "This is going to be a great land. It's going to be a great thing. There's so much going on for this land." And Caleb went in, and he saw it. It was exactly like God said. And so if that's true, that means God's promise to give us this land should be true as well. And he was willing to go up at once, for we are well able to overcome it. He had confidence in God's power. And because of this, he challenged Israel's fears. Verse number 7 of chapter 14, "And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land." It's just the way God promised it would be. If the Lord delight in us, which he already had been doing, he will bring us into the land and give it us. A land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear the people, for they are bread for us. I heard a preacher say one time that in the Hebrew that means it's going to be a piece of cake. Their defenses departed from them. And this is my favorite phrase, and the Lord is with us. You know, today, you got giants, big walls, cities on top of mountains, you're vastly outnumbered, you got problems in your life. Can I tell you something? God is with you. God is with us, and he has already proved himself faithful in the past. And right now, God remains the same as he always has been. And so we can go and face these trials. No, it's going to hurt. It's not going to be easy. That's okay, because God has promised to bring us through this. I'm already getting to my third point. In response to Israel's complaints and their lack of trust in God, Caleb challenges them to humble themselves and stop rebelling. And Caleb showed grief for the sin of Israel by rending his garments. And he tells the Israelites that he went through the promised land too. And he saw all those things. He saw them. But his focus was on God rather than the problems. Maybe he didn't understand how, but he knew who. He knew who would give Israel the victory. And so we saw the trust that Israel denied and the trust that Caleb displayed. But finally, I'd like to look at the trust that God demands. And this isn't immediately in the text, but I'll infer it. All of a sudden, God's glory comes down, and Israel gets busted while in the middle of complaining and threatening to stone God's leaders. When I think of that word busted, I think of the time when I was 2.5. My brother would have been 3.5, and my younger brother would have been 1. It was during nap time. You're not supposed to be out of your room during nap time. But my youngest brother at the time went out into the kitchen and poured 25 pounds of flour all over the kitchen floor. And me and my older brother went out. We were all playing it like it was a big sandbox. I had my little Tonka dump truck. I was rolling it around, spreading the flour everywhere, pouring it out, making big, like, you know, sandcastles out of the flour. And I remember sitting there in the corner of the kitchen. I look up, and there's Mom. Busted. She was on the phone. Later I learned, she tells the story, she had to go back into her room, hang up the phone, sit down, and just laugh because she thought it was so funny. But she couldn't let us see that she was laughing because we were in trouble. We got busted. All of a sudden, God comes down, and Israel's complaining and threatening to stone their leaders. And God asks Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? God asked Moses, why do these ungrateful Israelites tempt me? When will they learn to trust me after everything I've done for them? You know, I see God demands trust for salvation, for sanctification, and for supplies. Salvation in that the way to get saved is to trust God. You know, 4-year-old me understood this way better than 14-year-old me did. I got saved when I was 4 years old, but in my teenage years I had doubts because I thought, well, I didn't really understand what I did. Maybe I don't remember what I said. But 4-year-old me got it. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I know that God is faithful and God can't lie. Therefore, if I call on him, I'm saved. And I did that. I placed my trust in Christ to be my Savior. And I hope that you have too. I assume that you have. And if you're here today and you've done that, the next step is sanctification. And as you follow the Spirit's leading, if he tells you to change the message 3 days before you're going to be preaching in chapel, you should do it. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense at the time. You just have to trust that and go with it and hope that it's what somebody in here needs more than what you had to say. But as you trust God for that process of sanctification, if you follow the Spirit's leading, he will make you more and more like his Son. But when you resist that, you try to do it by yourself, it just makes a mess. So you trust God for salvation and for sanctification and finally for supplies. Everything that you need, God has promised to meet our needs. And he is faithful who promised. Therefore, we can trust that he will meet those needs. You know, you have real giants facing you, like I said. There's walled cities. There's obstacles in your way. It's going to be difficult. Things come into your life. You know, you got school bills you need to pay. Midterms are coming, and they will come. You know, maybe you got car problems. You can ask Ryan about that. There's all these different things that come at us. But you know what? I know a God who's into solving problems, who cares for us, who loves us, and who's shown an interest in us in the past, who remains faithful today, and who will help us through the trials. So I suppose I can get to the conclusion now. When those giants come, trust that God will take care of you. You can ask David. God took care of the giants. You can ask Joshua. God took care of the walls. You can look in Revelation where God levels the mountains. These aren't problems for him. They're not problems. That's what Daniel did in the lion's den. The 3 Hebrew men did in the fire. Peter did on the water. What you did at salvation. You've already trusted God this far. And look at what he's done for you. He's brought you here to be studying. He's provided so much for you. So when the bills come, when midterms come, when your car breaks down or when you hit a deer, when you get dumped, when you lose friends, when it turns out they were talking about you behind your back, when the results come back that it's cancer, when the baby dies, when you lose your job, when the church won't grow, when it just hurts, and it hurts, and you don't know what to do with it. Look back at everything God has already done for you. Look at how faithful he's been. Dr. Childs, has God ever failed you one time? one time. No.
Brother Hanky?
I don't think so. Mr. Clark? No. Stephen? Other Stephen? I don't think so. God hasn't failed me. Not one time. Not one time. I look back at everything God has done for me and how far He's brought me. I look at who I know God is right now, and I know that I can trust Him. We started with a question, and I'll end with a question again. How long is it going to be until you start trusting God?